Okay, so this patient was commenced on an ACE inhibitor such as enalapril, which is evidenced by the non-productive dry cough. Patients with diabetes mellitus 1 or 2 who have any evidence of protein in the urine or a blood pressure greater than 130 on 80 will be commenced first line on either an ACE inhibitor such as enalapril, the PRILs refer to ACE inhibitors, or angiotensin II receptor blockers such as candesartan, valsartan. So the sartans are AT2 receptor blockers. Now, once again, either is first line. Both are acceptable. However, dry cough, non-productive cough, very high yield characteristic adverse effect of commencing ACE inhibitors. So that's not difficult in terms of making that assessment in the stem. But then we look at the answer choices and it's like, oh, wow, what the fuck? Like lots of arrows here. So the starting point is just knowing that, just chilling the fuck out for 2 seconds, looking at the first column, making an assessment of potassium. If we are giving an ACE inhibitor, we're going to be intercepting the renin-angiotensin system, ultimately leading to decreased aldosterone production. So aldosterone normally functions to secrete potassium distally in the kidney. So if we knock out the renin-angiotensin system and decrease aldosterone, then we're going to be retaining potassium. High potassium, okay? Hyperkalemia is actually a side effect of ACE inhibitors and angiotensin II receptor blockers. So it's not just dry cough, but patients can also get hyperkalemia. So our potassium is up. And then simply looking at our pathway of renin, AT1, AT2, and aldosterone, ACE inhibitors are merely going to be inhibiting the conversion of angiotensin 1 to angiotensin 2 in the lungs. So we know that we're going to be increasing the arrows on the left side of the equation. That means renin and angiotensin 1 will increase. And then we're going to be decreasing the arrows on the right side of the equation, which means that aldosterone and angiotensin 2 will decrease. So our arrows are up for potassium, up for renin, up for angiotensin 1, decreased for angiotensin 2, decreased for aldosterone. Another way to think of it is if you're knocking out ACE and therefore decreasing angiotensin 2 and aldosterone, renin would have to go up to compensate in an effort to make more aldosterone. Okay, so however you want to think of it. But this type of question is high yield for step one, okay? So if they had given you candesartan or valsartan, the angiotensin II receptor blocker, instead we would have decreased aldosterone, but then everything else would be increased, okay? Or if we gave spironolactone or eplerenone, which is an aldosterone receptor antagonist, everything would be increased, including aldosterone. That fucks some people up as well, where aldosterone is increased in the setting of giving spironolactone or eplerenone. That's pretty much it. Look, there's a lot we can talk about mechanistically in terms of the renin-angiotensin pathway, the effects on electrolytes. I've got other questions I've written on those topics, but I just want to communicate this as a concise point. Just you being aware of ACE inhibitors causing dry cough, you being aware of any evidence of protein in the urine or blood pressure greater than 130 on 80 in a diabetic patient, one type 1 or type 2, those patients need an ACE inhibitor or an angiotensin II receptor blocker first line. Okay, that's it.